Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back recording on July 12th. I know it's been a couple weeks, but the summer months, you know, the news is slow. If you go on some of these Lions websites, people haven't posted in like a couple weeks. Everybody's been taken off with the 4th of July and everything like that. But you know, we're back. And we're going to ready to talk about some Lions football. But we're going to probably look a little more in the past here. We have an interesting idea we'd like to float out. But before we get into all that, I do just the rest of the Blue Kool-Aid crew. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got UJ.
Hey, everybody.
Bob.
Hello there.
Red Dog.
Yo.
And then last but not least, Connor.
What up?
All right, gentlemen. So without much news at all to report upon, well, I believe a former Lions coach, right, died, Michigan coach.
Yeah.
Gary Muller.
Yeah. Yes.
Gary Muller.
And a player, too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know as much about him personally, but I don't know if you guys want to speak on him a little bit or not.
Our former quarterback.
Brief stint with the Lions, right, after Bobby Ross quit.
Yeah.
Didn't take over.
So he had a winning record, though, with the Lions. He was 4-3 in his 7-game stint as the Lions interim coach. So
that's rare.
I know.
Yeah.
Right?
Rare for any Lions coach.
But a statue up to him.
How many Lions coaches can say that? Yeah, how many Lions coaches can say that?
Our former quarterback also passed, too. Sorry. I can't hear Connor saying
that. What's that, Connor? Repeat that.
No, I was just wondering how many Lions quarterbacks actually say they finished with a winning record as a Lions coach.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, Lions coaches, yeah, not many. Not many.
Yeah, I don't think many at all.
We can't forget Marlon Briscoe, our former Lion, also the first black starting quarterback in the AFL.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Oh, did
yeah.
he? Oh, I didn't.
It was 2 weeks ago, but I mean, so it was.
Oh, since,
it was,
yeah.
It was a little while ago, but.
Yeah,
not,
I didn't realize
was,
that.
Since we've last re-talked.
For sure. And, but.
And in podcast news, we have to congratulate Big Z, who is off the market, ladies. He got married. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Yes, he is.
The pod actually got a shout out. The pod got a shout out during the wedding.
Yeah
the
my
father in law shouted out the podcast. He's a fan of the podcast, even though he is not a Lions fan. He's a
yes.
Fan.
You have married into Packers fandom now. How do you feel about
that? Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know. Well, we had my now wife on this podcast previously. We brought her into the Lions then. She took her punches.
That was when Z knew she was the one when
she
came out unscathed, relatively, anyway.
So, what we want to do on this podcast is an idea we've been thinking about for a while, but we're just going to try it out, for the first time here, especially with no news. And we think it'd be an interesting exercise. I know we did the redraft a few weeks ago, but now we're going to try something else new called What If. We're going to what if series. Now, will it be a series? I don't know. Let's see how popular it is. But basically, you know, there's a bunch of, I think there's like a what if Marvel series or something like that. That this was sprung before even that came to be.
Oh, for sure.
But basically, the Lions have a lot of what ifs in their history, and a lot of it has to deal with referee calls, at least.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of referee, I know there's a lot of what ifs, like if they draft somebody else and such like that. But at least in terms of bad calls that change the course of history, the Lions have that aplenty. And the one we want to focus on today is what if the Brandon Pettigrew in the 2014 or in the 2015 playoff game. This is the 2014 season, but the playoff game was in January 2015. What if the flag wasn't picked up by the refs? And
something we think about every day since it happened in 2014.
Man.
It haunts my nightmares.
I'm going to lay out the scenario for you. So Lions were the 6th seed playing at Dallas, the 3 seed. Lions were 11-5 that year after in week 17 losing 30-20 at Lambeau to win the division. Because they didn't do that, they end up being the 6th seed and playing on the road at Dallas on January 4th. So there's 8:25 left in the fourth quarter. The Lions are up 20-17 with 8:25 left. It's a 3rd-and-1. A 3rd-and-1 from about midfield, the 50-yard line. Lions are lining up in an I formation, and it's 3rd-and-1, 8:25 left, remember, and Matt Stafford does a play action. So Theo Riddick's lined up in the backfield. The defense probably knows a pass is coming with when Theo Riddick's lined up in 3rd-and-1 at this time, just reminiscing on it. And Pettigrew has a little bit of a beat on the linebacker. Stafford throws a pass 20 yards down the left seam. It's a little short, and Anthony Hitchens is in coverage on Brandon Pettigrew. Now, the pass is a little short. It hits Hitchens in the back, but Pettigrew tried coming back for the ball, and there's an. It looks in real time. It looks like an obvious pass interference. In replay, it looks like an obvious pass interference. Hitchens is pushing his left arm on Pettigrew's right shoulder, and doesn't allow Pettigrew an opportunity to even come back to the. Yeah, they call it face guarding, but I don't even know if it's face guarding. It's just a blatant pass interference pushing on the right shoulder and not allowing a guy to come grab the ball while the ball's in the air. So there's a slew of. So they call the penalty, and then there seems to be confusion on the field a little bit. And the referee then announces pass interference, and then a minute later. They overturn it with no explanation as to why. They just pick up the flag. And then it's 4th-and-1. Sam Martin botches a punt for 10 yards. The Cowboys come down and score a touchdown with a little over 2.5 minutes left. But here's the thing about this game that I forget every time. The Lions still had an opportunity to win this game. They get the ball with a little over 2 minutes left in the game. On the second play of the last drive, Stafford actually fumbles. DeMarcus Lawrence picks up the ball, and he fumbles. Garrett Reynolds, our former running back, forces the fumble. Riley Reiff falls on it, and the Lions get a new set of downs, 1st-and-10. Then the Lions end up getting a 4th-and-3 at midfield at the 50-yard line and can't complete it and lose the game with about 30 seconds left. So the Lions had another opportunity here. Matt Stafford had a chance to overcome this this terrible call, but they couldn't do it in the end. Again, 2017, we were up. If that pass interference is upheld, the Lions have 1st-and-10 at the 30-yard line. They're in field goal range, and it doesn't happen. And there's two other things I want to mention about this play. There was also, it looked like an obvious defensive holding on this call, on the same Anthony Hitchens. So two flags, not called. And then Des Bryant runs on the field without his helmet on, which is a clear violation of every rule. It should have been a personal foul of 15 yards. That isn't called either. There are three flags on this play, not called, a travesty in every regard.
Yes. Well, because it was the Cowboys, no one cared. So it's unfortunate.
Unfortunately, that's true.
It was terrible. He did get held on that. He grabbed his jersey when he was running the route, and then the pass interference, and that. I can't believe that penalty with the taking his helmet off, because that was an obvious penalty and people knew about that penalty. It was a very well publicized type of penalty, and they just decided not to do it because it's Dallas.
Yeah, and if you look at if you go back and watch this game, January 4th, 2015, 2014 season, the refs look like they are all sorts of confused on the field. These playoff. They do it every year in the NFL. The crew that they work with all year, they don't work with in the playoffs. It's a whole new set of officials. It's like an all-star team of officials, but they don't work with each other. They haven't communicated with each other previously. I think that really costs him. If you go on YouTube too, you'll see Mike Pereira give his opinion on this, and he also thinks there's a blatant pass interference, a blatant holding, and the doesn't mention the Des Bryant taking off the helmet part in the video. But he definitely thinks there should have been a flag, and he thinks the referees miscommunicating definitely hurt the Lions.
If you ask me, this is way worse. You know, most people, non-Lions fans, won't agree with me probably, but this is way worse than even the Saints play. Because it's cumulative. It's like, the play I'm talking about, right? Their guy was tackled. I mean, it's effectively the same thing, except worse. Because at least they just played dumb. They literally threw the flag and then picked up the flag. Like, that's unprecedented.
Yeah, they made the correct call.
Like, this is worse than that to me.
That was the crazy thing.
At least they could be like, my refs are blind. Our refs knew what they were doing.
Picks was in, boys. Let's face it. The NFL didn't want the Lions to win that game, period.
Yeah. And then the what-if scenario. Well, I think they win the game if that happens.
I think they do, too.
And then I think that team was starting to get better as the season went on. I think they would have made a deep run of the playoffs. Maybe Sue stays after that. Who knows?
I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, they go on to play Seattle if they win that game, right?
Right.
Who beat Carolina comfortably that round. So that would have been a really tough game as well at Seattle.
We had a good D, though.
But I think a playoff win would have fired that Lions team up, and we don't even know what would have happened in Seattle.
Oh, without a doubt.
But it wouldn't have been an easy game. I'm not saying this team would have made the Super Bowl, but they could have gone deep.
Remember this team, too. And I mean, we're going to get into this as well since we're reminiscing about this team. Second overall in defense and a historically great rush defense. Only giving up 69.3 yards per game on the ground. Only 300 yards per game overall. Second best in the NFL, but first in rush defense easily. I think it was like by 10 plus yards they were first overall in the NFL in rush defense. And it was wasted because Joe Lombardi, our offensive coordinator.
That's another compelling what if. What if we had a capable offensive coordinator?
This is Terrell Austin, Jim Caldwell, our new head coach, first year. Joe Lombardi, offensive coordinator.
We had DeAndre Levy too, right? It was like we had decent linebacker play.
It was his best year, I think.
That was the last time we had decent linebacker play, in my opinion. Yeah.
Levy, Tahir Whitehead, main two linebackers on this team. Hedbo was our strong safety. Glover Quinn, free safety. We had Slay and Rasheen Mathis as the cornerbacks. 1 year of good Rasheen Mathis. Obviously, Sue, Ziggy Ansah. It's a pretty solid defense.
It
sucks.
Another really big sucks. What if would have been if they didn't blow that Packers game at the end of the year and go and, you know, just do the right thing and seal the division. I think that would have changed everything, too. I mean, we should have beat them that year, if I remember correctly, too. We blew that game, but.
Yeah, I mean, we lost that 30-20. That one's less of a what if for me.
On the refs, though, and more on just what I think Jim Caldwell's failings as a coach. But
there's all this revisionist history now saying Caldwell was better than he was because Patricia was so bad, in my opinion. Everyone was acting like Caldwell was going 12-4 every year, when that's not the case. There was always failings with Caldwell, I think. They could never beat the good teams.
So the Lions lost five games this year. 24-7 loss at Carolina. A 17-14 loss. This is the Jim Caldwell raise him up at midfield on the shoulders. 17-14 loss at home to the Bills.
Oh,
that was when he went to go be defense coordinator over there the year after he got fired. Then a 14-6 loss at Arizona, a 34-9 loss. A lot of these losses definitely, you know, good offense outscores these teams and wins the game, besides the 34-9 loss at New England, where they got their asses beat. But every other one was like a pretty competitive game and just poor offensive performances, really. I mean, even a lot of the games they won were low scoring. So, and
Matt Stafford comebacks,
loss in
right? I remember Stafford was Mr. Comeback that year because his arm was the thing that kept him and Theo Riddick were the thing that kept this that like offensive attack on life support at the end of every game, but kept us in them.
Yeah.
Do you remember do you remember our kicker at the beginning of the season?
No.
The beginning?
I have no idea.
Who's that?
Nate Freeze.
Oh, jeez.
Only played 3 games, and he was fired, and then they picked up Matt Prater after he got released by the Broncos.
One good thing that happened in the Caldwell.
Hey, Bob, do you think if Jim Bob Cooter were the coordinator that year, they win the Super Bowl?
Oh, God, yes. Cooter, legend. For sure.
I was just wondering.
Yeah, he's not a legend, but I think
Detroit Lions legend.
He was that marginally better than Lombardi that it would have made all the difference, I think. Remember how we beat the Bears at the end when he took over that last game of the season after Lombardi left the next year? And we won to ruin our draft position. Great.
So, I mean, what happened the rest of the season? Like Connor mentioned, Detroit would have gone to Seattle. Seattle was the one seed this year. They end up beating Carolina 31-17, and then Seattle 28-22 over Green Bay in the conference championship. But so Dallas wins this game on sheer luck, as we have described with the refs. But then they get screwed by the refs in the next game in Green Bay. So it's kind of karma, coming right back at them, because there was that controversial Dez Bryant. They ruled an incomplete catch, I believe, after it looked like an obvious catch where he like caught it, had a couple steps, reached out.
The process. The end zone.
Yeah, oh, like the a Calvin process. Type? Like the Calvin call? The
yeah,
Calvin rule?
It was ridiculous. It looked like an obvious catch.
Oh, yeah.
And they get screwed, and Green Bay wins that game. And then Green Bay goes to Seattle, and they Seattle recovers an onside kick right off the head of the Green Bay hands team and wins the game late. And then Seattle loses 28-24 at the goal line against New England. So it's just funny how each of those games, starting with the Lions, kind of had like a bit of karma for the team that won.
It's just where you find – it's how they find out where they are in the pecking order with the league is the
– Yeah.
Yeah, really.
But,
yeah.
And then the other what if with this whole thing is it would have just taken the monkey off the back of the organization. You know, they're still chasing that one win. Even if they lost next week, they would have had a win in hand.
Right.
Just been a different feeling.
Against the Cowboys, too, the last team they beat in the playoffs, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wins like that create magic, too.
The last
if you get a win like that, you get your first playoff win in years, like that creates magic, and who knows what you're capable of doing, you know, what kind of run you can go on.
It's just so insane to me that we've won one playoff game in the modern era. Like, that baffles me.
Does that even count as the modern era anymore?
In the Super Bowl era, I should say.
Already. Super Bowl era, Super Bowl era, yes.
The modern era has 17 regular season games, damn it.
Well, then so many teams haven't won a playoff game.
True. Hey, we're not alone.
Yeah.
We'll win one before the Browns, I'll tell you that.
Hell yeah.
Ooh, there's a prediction.
I think they're going down in flames right now. They tied their ship, or tied themselves to a sinking ship.
I agree.
Yeah, this is a 29-year-old Reggie Bush, a 28-year-old Joique Bell in the backfield for this game. But Golden Tate, Calvin Johnson, Eric Ebron in his rookie year this year.
I mean,
Sir drops a lot, Calvin, but when you have Calvin, there's always a chance.
Calvin had no touchdowns in this game, by the way. The only touchdown receiving was to Golden Tate. Calvin Johnson had 8 targets in this game for 67 yards.
Man, Calvin in a prime Golden Tate, that's quite a receiving 1-2 right there.
Our offense was so stacked. It should have been so much better. It succeeded because of the sheer talent. How often do we get can we say that about any unit on our team? And we had to have it combined with the worst offensive coordinator that I've ever seen in my life. I think for any team ever.
And now he's the offensive coordinator again for the Chargers.
Well, that's
and Justin Herbert, which a lot of people think is the most exciting young quarterback in the whole league. So.
Well, hey, we'll if you learn, that's one thing.
Yeah,
you know, people
I
learn,
would,
but
yeah, that's definitely the best Lions defense in my lifetime. I mean,
easily.
Bob and UJ maybe have a different answer.
No,
but for
no.
us, that's got to be the number one.
This defense is like what Patricia was trying to do in Quinn, like to stop the run, like first and foremost.
This defense is like slightly worse than the defense I think we're going to have this year. Like, that's how good they were.
All right. Well, that's another discussion.
I'm just saying, that's how good they were.
No, that was the best defense I can remember, too. Definitely.
Yeah.
And that's how good I think we're
going to be. I mean, we've had some good defensive players over the years, you know.
It's just so infuriating when you have a historic defense and a franchise quarterback with Calvin Johnson, and you can't win a playoff game.
Yeah.
Well, it says a lot about the organization, how it's been over the years, but I think it's turning around.
But that team didn't have Dan Campbell. They didn't have Motor City Dan. And they didn't have Jared Goff.
That's right.
These are all just going to be marks of the what we had to get through to get to where we're going here. That's all.
But it does go with the philosophy that we can't let the refs beat us. And I think Campbell's got that notion in his head, too. He says, we got to win this game, and we can't let the refs take this game from us. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to get to that point soon. It's not going to matter what the refs do. And the good teams, it doesn't matter, you know.
Yep.
Everyone gets bad calls against them here and there. It happens.
I mean,
it seems like for us.
It shows your foundations are built on sand, I think, when you fall apart that easy.
Can't you, like, see in your mind, like, Aiden Hutchinson having a game-winning sack or Jameson Williams catching, like, a 30-yard touchdown pass to seal a playoff game?
So easy.
Like, can't you see that in the future?
Who's throwing the ball in the future, Connor? Is it Goff?
That's a long debate to have on a future pod, I think.
I do want to mention the Lions had 6 sacks in this game for over 50 yards. Lost.
Damn.
So
wow.
And 2 from Sue.
Sue.
This game. It was a great Sue year.
Against Tony Romo. Against the great Tony Romo.
Daryl Tapp had a sack in this game.
Daryl Tapp.
I haven't heard thought about it in a while.
One of our old Lions legends.
What could have been? What it could have been? I think another big difference in this game, the Lions had their 1 4th down at the end of the game that couldn't convert. The Cowboys converted 2 on that last drive that they scored the touchdown on to win the game. So the defense was our strength, but also just couldn't come quite through at the very end to stop the Cowboys, unfortunately.
Yeah.
In tears.
We need to get
into
this what if here. How do we? What happens next? Pettigrew. Catch or doesn't catch the ball.
Yeah, Pettigrew's legacy, absolutely.
I'm saying, what happens next? The penalty gets called. We get those yards. What do you think happens? Let's play this out. How does the game play out at that point? And on to the next part.
Well, I think the Lions run down the clock to about 5 minutes and kick a field goal to go up 23-17. And I think the Lions defense stops.
All right, I'm going
to cut
you off.
Have to go the full length of the field. They don't have to go 50 yards.
You're wrong, Z. I'm sorry. The next play, we get it, and Stafford throws a pass to Calvin wide open in the middle of the end zone, but it was an illegal catch for being a Lion, and we were disqualified from winning the game. It doesn't matter. It always ends the same. No, I'm just kidding. That's what I'm. My Kool-Aid.
Drink some Kool-Aid, man.
We all agree the Lions win. Right?
Oh no, I liked your scenario.
I like
exactly
that you think Joe Lombardi
happens.
Could have schemed up a play to get Calvin wide open.
Yeah,
in the next play, though.
I don't think that would happen.
Yeah.
Well,
Calvin ever anywhere not with a defender in his immediate vicinity in that game?
If we agree the Lions win, what happens against Seattle? Do we think?
Oh, they win again.
Do they beat Seattle?
They win.
You think so?
Yeah.
What do you think the score of that game is?
Low.
39-3.
Stafford.
A billion to nothing Lions,
baby. Yeah.
You're really showing my Kool-Aid is lower.
If the Lions win this game, what would that have done for Jim Caldwell's legacy?
Unfortunately, that would have probably kept him on the Lions.
That would have kept him on the Lions a few more years, I think.
Yeah, so that would have
won one playoff
that
game.
That's the case. I think that's literally the case.
So really, that would have set the organization back even more if we kept Caldwell.
And now we would only be in like year 2 of Patricia right now.
That's right.
Oh, God.
Think about
Let's not. Yeah,
think about where this pod would be if the Lions win that playoff game.
So maybe that call was a great thing for us in the long run. I mean, if you're thinking long
term. And every other call before it, right?
Yeah.
Everything that led
it's
to
all been leading
now.
To this. It's all been leading to this.
It's all been
all
leading
those
to
generations.
Motor City Dan.
it would have been fans who died without seeing Super Bowl.
It would have been Super Bowl winning Jim Caldwell because that team was going to make a run right after that game.
If they win the Super Bowl, he gets a lifetime contract, and I don't care. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, that's fair. I wouldn't care at that point.
You know, at my wedding, the priest is saying like God has had a plan for me and my wife, you know, to meet one day. Mm. So I feel like the same is being applied to Lions here. All this is happening for a reason. God has a plan to, and the Lions are ultimately going to dominate the NFL for many years to come.
I agree.
It's
with all you.
Totally agree.
100%.
If you're a faithful person, if not, you know.
Hey, anybody who's
it's all happening for a reason is what I'm trying to get.
Anybody who's followed the Lions as long as we have is a faithful person. There's a lot of people out there that follow this team.
Sure.
So there's some level of faith in there.
For sure.
Oh, absolutely.
It's coming.
The most loyal fans in the world.
Absolutely. God bless them all.
See, ladies, if you want a loyal man, get yourself a Lions
fan. Good advice.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, I mean, right after this play, too, what if Sam Barton doesn't punt it 10 yards?
Yeah, that was another thing. That was, oh, my God.
See, that's why I love where we're at now. I feel like our foundation wouldn't allow these outcomes. Like, we're not going to get derailed by these little one plays with the way they're building this team. That team had a lot of superstar power. But where was the depth? Where was the offensive line at that time? I think we were halfway decent, but not our best. I'm just saying, like, that organization was built on rotten foundations. So
yeah, Z, that Sam Martin, he was having a great year, and then he shanks a punt under pressure. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, oh, God. That was another knife in the back.
Yeah,
it always seemed that way. Like, our best players always seemed to fail in the past, like, right when we needed them most. Jason Hansen, Calvin Johnson, Stafford,
Eddie Murray.
Martin. Let's not forget the
all of them. I mean, like, it's like, damn,
that's a what if for another day, but before your time, Big Z. But a bigger what if than that pass interference
beat the 49ers.
Was that the wasn't that the conference championship?
We would have been in the conference championship if we won that game.
Yeah, it was the conference. Yeah,
that
would have been huge.
Eddie Murray.
Isn't that the pennant? Or didn't they used to call that the pennant?
No, that's baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oops.
We don't talk about baseball on this podcast.
Or Bruno,
man.
As far as I've heard.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Z, you mentioned
tough one to reflect upon.
Darius Slay on that team. That's the Lions' last defensive Pro Bowler that we've had.
Shut down Dez Bryant in that game, if I remember correctly.
We haven't had a Pro Bowler since Slay. I think that'll change this year.
Was Nick Fairley on that team?
On this team?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Did he get hurt this year? By Sue rolling through him? I think that was the year it happened. That was when they were supposed to.
Oh, yeah, so he was on this team. Sorry, yeah, he only played in 8 games.
Yeah, and he was looking great for the first time, and then Sue rolled him in the backfield, I think. That was the end of his time as a Lion, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Tolik was barely on this team.
Was that when he was hop party?
I remember them having an exciting one, too, for a little while. That could be another interesting scenario.
The beginning of the year.
Yeah, this is Swanson's rookie year.
Oh, wow.
This is amazing, our first time doing this segment, but it's already pretty depressing.
See, it makes me happy to contrast it to where we are now, because I feel much better.
Let's go back to the 1957 year. Let's reminisce on that one.
Let's just open more wounds.
The 1938 season, I've never recovered from emotionally. So talk about that for a second. Yeah.
Connor's always been pretty raw on that one.
Yeah.
What were they, the Portsmouth? What were the Lions before?
The Spartans? Were they the Spartans?
Yeah, Spartans, right. Portsmouth Spartans.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Bob, Sue was a first-team All-Pro, so he's probably the most notable defensive player in this team.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying Slay was a Pro Bowler after Sue left, and he was the last Lion.
Oh, gotcha.
Is he the last?
Last, like, Lion defender.
First-teamer?
As a pro in the Pro Bowl.
Sue's definitely the last first-team All-Pro.
The next one will be Aiden Hutchinson.
I thought we had, a couple of guys get in Pro Bowls in recent years on, backups.
Who?
I thought like Stafford who was our did last year?
No,
with
defense.
Us.
We're talking. Defense. We're talking defense only.
Oh, are you specific? I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Defense.
I literally think Aiden Hutchinson will be the next one. Like,
oh
I,
yeah, I heard Brockers said that Hutchinson's on a mission. He's a man on a mission.
I could see Tracy Walker maybe sneaking in there if he ups.
Mm.
If
Tracy
the
Walker's
defensive
son.
Line plays better and gives him like more time. To
well, my pick.
I can see Romeo Quara.
My pick is Aleem McNeil. Back, surprising.
Aleem McNeil.
Aleem McNeil, you
when
did?
Do we get the like Jeff that. Okuda?
I can't wait to see what Romeo Quara does.
Well, Jeff
Hutchinson
Okuda needs to play
week.
Like more than half a season.
Aquara's got a shot, too. Yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's got to just come back healthy first and then go from there.
When does Cephas make the
this
Pro
year, probably.
Yeah. He's got to make the team first.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You guys have no faith at all. I mean,
that's the little side bet that UJ and I have. Cephas, right. I have Trinity Benson. He has Cephas making that last.
Bob's looking to lose them.
Yeah. It seems about 50-50 from Lions fans. I think the pundits are siding with Cephas, but we'll see.
Yeah.
I just think it seems obvious, but, you know.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah. This is also Kyle Van Noy's rookie year, too. Didn't do too much.
He did nothing with the Lions. He was awful.
Yeah. Oh.
They misused him.
That was the weirdest things like back then when we would just draft these guys like that looked like really good, but then they wouldn't use them how they were meant to be used, and it would just be like so frustrating. Ugh.
Yeah, this draft was Ebron in the first round, Van Noy in the second,
and then
Swanson
he has
the
a decent career somewhere else.
Nevin Lawson and Larry Webster in the fourth Karan Reed in the fifth, who actually played for a while in the NFL, and then T.J. Jones and Nate Freeze.
T.J. Jones was one I always hoped. He was always like right on the edge of hanging on there and almost making a role for himself.
It's too bad Aaron Donald was gone and we had to take Ebron. Oh, no.
I know.
Oh,
yeah.
That's another big what if.
Can you imagine Aaron Donald with Sue?
There's a what if.
Yeah, I can imagine
sure.
that, believe it or not.
That's a team that just wins because of that defense. It doesn't matter what the offense does.
I think that would be declared illegal.
Soon as prime
each other.
With Aaron Donald. I mean, Aaron Donald's a rookie. Was
the space that Sue would create for him.
And the help that would give the linebackers, too. Like, I think Levy has an even better year.
Oh, like, God. Was Glover Quinn still around?
Yeah, he was on that team.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Him and Levy. Quinn was one of the best free agent signings we've ever made, period, for the Lions organization, if you ask me. One of the underrated ones. He was really good. Remember him and Levy like led the league in interceptions, I think, on the same year or in back-to-back years. Can't remember, but those two together were kind of awesome. Rome in the middle.
Yep. This is, I mean, if the Lions, if they just keep that penalty, Lions win, and maybe go to Seattle and really make something happen. But at least they get that one win, and it.
So we all agree. We all agree they beat Seattle. What happens then? If we all agree they beat Seattle,
they play Green Bay. And,
do you think they beat Green Bay?
To go to the Super Bowl.
You think they beat Green Bay?
Green Bay.
I mean, they played them twice that year. It's hard to beat a good team three times.
I think we should have beat them in that last game of the season. Absolutely, and I think they would. I think the revenge would have.
Yeah.
Got them through it this time.
So basically, we're looking at if that flag doesn't get picked up. This podcast would be about which Super Bowl was the best for the Lions, you know? Like,
exactly.
It's all that one play.
You know, that would kind of ruin the moniker, too. Like, drinking the blue Kool-Aid, like right. Why? Like,
yeah.
Like
do we change the name when
like
we win a Super Bowl?
We are the winners all the time.
We'd have a different podcast. Lions keep winning. Is this boring or what?
Is it bad for the league?
Should we let someone else win once in a while?
Yeah, right.
I do want to correct myself. I said the Lions lost to Green Bay twice that year. They only lost to him once. They beat him week 3, 19-7 at Ford Field. They just lost to him the last week of the season to win the division.
Yeah. Oh my. That was a tough one.
Yeah. I mean, this is the best Lions team I think I've seen since I've been alive and born in 1992 and had a memory of NFL football.
Best record we've seen. So I mean,
1991 was a pretty awesome team. So,
Right. So I'm the bad luck charm.
You are.
They,
you were
they
born.
They win a playoff game. I'm born. They born. Haven't won since.
Well, I can say
but
the same thing.
They drafted Barry when I was born.
In 1957, they win the championship. In 1958, I'm born. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Who's worse?
That's true. They drafted Barry when I was born, and then you came along. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, totally. UJ, they also had a good team in, was it 94 when the or 95 when they lost to the Eagles horribly? But they had Barry Sanders. They had a stacked offense
yes,
that year.
They did. They did.
They scored 38 points or something, but they gave up 58 in that game. It
was, right.
It was a yeah. nightmare of a game. But
I'll tell you what, though. Thing. I mean, we're getting off track a little bit, but yeah. watching Barry Sanders was just a gift from God, man.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Guy, that guy was unbelievable. I mean, I jumped out of my seat more times watching Lions. Every time that guy touched the ball, did something. It was unbelievable. The guy was just unreal.
If the Lions win this game, does Tony Romo not become an announcer? I'm just trying to think of all the what-if yeah. scenarios.
If the Lions win, Tony Romo gets stuck in a Groundhog's Day.
I don't know how many playoff games
the game
Tony
over
Romo
and over won, again.
But I don't think it was. I think this might have been his only one.
Might have been, yeah.
I'm going to look this up now.
The great Tony Romo only won one playoff game.
Tony Romo, a legend of broadcasting, though. He's great in the booth.
I like Romo. He was a solid quarterback.
He is pretty good.
Is he still good now, though, or is it worn off a little bit? Yeah, Tony Romo.
He's still good.
Oh, he's 2-4 overall. This is one of his two playoff wins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I think so. Yeah, 2-4. 2-4, yep. I don't remember what the second one was. But.
You see, that Rams team that Stafford won the Super Bowl with kind of reminds me of that Lions team in 2014. Like, they had a great defense. And they had a lot of offensive weapons. They just had a lot better of an offensive coordinator.
It's literally Joe Lombardi's like, let's get Sean McVay calling our plays. Not I guarantee we win the Super Bowl that
it's
year.
It's pro or against Stafford. Yeah.
Guarantee it. Calvin Johnson and like, oh my god, like I'm not like I think Sean McVay honestly is slightly overrated, only in the slightest, but like there's no doubt that he would have taken this team. Like, he could have probably turned this team into a dynasty. Like the weapons we had, oh my goodness.
Yeah,
he already did proved he could do it with Stafford once.
Yeah.
I wonder if Terrell Austin gets hired as a head coach, if they manage to win this game and have kind of that on his resume.
Probably.
Too.
Yeah. He was a hot name after that.
It kind of surprises me he wasn't. Yeah.
I mean,
what was the name? I didn't catch
that.
He
got a bunch of looks. I think the Falcons was the closest he got to being hired. He'd end up not getting hired by anybody, then gets fired eventually. And then
who's
I think he went to be defense coordinator for the Bengals a little bit under
Caldwell.
Terrell Austin.
Austin. He looked so good that first year. Like, I mean, yeah, the defense is really good, but he never got flexible like he kept saying he would after that. We got like married to that 4-3 and he lost all kind of creativity, it seemed.
Yeah,
maybe that was
a
lack of talent though.
Yeah, losing Sue was huge.
Though
the
I think
guy who's first team all pro up the middle.
I think he doubled down on like some like fundamental formation instead of getting more creative, which I think would have maybe helped him, but he was never the main problem on that team.
Hey, don't you miss trying to explain to people how Sue wasn't dirty?
Yeah.
I think this is the...
He used to say how dirty he was. No, man. He obviously didn't know he was kicking a guy in the nuts.
No.
Well, that was ridiculous.
He didn't really stomp him. He just sort of like pulled up. You know, he didn't look like he was going to stop, but he didn't really do it.
This was the season where go ahead, Connor. Go ahead.
No, I was saying Sue's best moment was against Cuddy, against Jay Cutler with that freakish stomp, and then all the Bears fans were flipping out.
The shiver to the ground.
Iconic.
Yeah, the shove.
Oh, that was the most bogus call.
That was just some good football play.
You shoved
him
too hard.
They made up a whole new penalty because he was too violent. That was amazing.
Shoving too hard, 15 yards.
This is that Week 17 game that we keep mentioning where the Lions lost to the Packers. This is the game where Sue kind of stepped on Rodgers' ankle or accidentally walked into it backwards.
Oh, I was talking about when he shoved Jay Cutler.
I know. I'm talking about another incident.
Oh.
Yeah, I remember that one too, Z. I remember all those, man.
Yeah.
He didn't see Rodgers' bicep.
Yeah, he did. It was an accident, obviously. Jeez.
That was probably one of the worst ones, honestly, for him. Because honestly, the bicep stomp was the most overblown because it was barely a tap. And then the kick in the nuts, there's no way he did that on purpose. And then, but that Rodgers one, I was like, okay.
Justice for Sue. I can't really make nothing wrong.
Yeah, there's just not really like a. He's totally oblivious to his surroundings. He's only a pro athlete. He doesn't need to be alert.
He hasn't really been involved in too much of that since he left the Lions.
Well, he did try to kill Stafford in the playoff game.
Yeah.
It's probably the sand. It was probably the warm sun in Florida that kind of mellowed him out. You know.
His stacks of cash mellowed him out.
Yeah, the stacks of untaxed cash or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, this was an interesting experiment. If there's other – oh, the referee, if you want to remember his name too. I don't think I mentioned it, but Peter Morelli, that was the head referee for this one. The back judge, Lee
he just got
Geyer,
added to my
is
list.
The one who threw the flag that got picked up. I don't know who picked it up. I don't know whose call it was. I have no idea. They didn't have a sky judge at this time, so I really don't know who replayed it in their mind that it wasn't a pass interference. We'll never know. We'll always wonder, what if the flag didn't get picked up?
Didn't the guy who picked it up, didn't he go home and wound up being a horrible drunk and just drank himself to death after that because he felt so guilty?
I think he was actually a secret spy for Russia.
I don't know either. You can only wonder.
He probably went on to ump that Tigers game where they had the perfect game and he had a bad call at first. That would have killed it.
I think he met Jerry Jones in the tunnel afterwards and picked up his check or his bag of cash.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, right.
Oh, boy. Well, the Lions, 11-5 this year, a 6th seed, go to Dallas, losing a heartbreaker. And we'll always wonder what if.
What if
this game? Never know. But the Cowboys got their karma in the next one.
What if
the karma went all the way through to Super Bowl?
We need like bumper music. What if and that doo 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 that little heart music that turns off into a dream. What if?
What's that show with Factor Fiction?
Leader or whatever.
Factor Fiction.
Do you remember that show? It had a Riker from Star Trek: The Next Generation. He's like
I kind of remember.
No.
It.
We made it up. It's all fiction.
We should.
There'll be a fact.
I think never I mind. Actually do remember that. But
too bad
never
we talk.
About...
No, it would work. I was gonna say we could bring up like ideas, like describe like the Calvin catch. Like, is this fact or fiction? No one would ever believe it, but we probably talk about it too much, so everyone already knows about it. So I maybe there's something there, Connor. I don't know.
We'll talk. We'll talk offline.
Yeah.
We'll brainstorm.
All right, gentlemen, I think we're going to wrap it up here. Again, the Lions lose 24-20 to the Cowboys in 2014. But that's all right.
The consensus is they win
like
the
I
Super
said,
Bowl.
If they... it's yes, we all know it's destiny. This is all part of a bigger destiny for the Lions where they can dominate the NFL for years to come.
Destiny is all.
All right, so thank you to our producer, Kid Jay. Thank you to SidelineReport.com for hosting the podcast. Go on there, check out their articles. And just thank you to the listeners. We appreciate you coming back. Hopefully you had a good holiday. Hopefully your summer's off to a great start. We're in the second half of 2022 already. Pretty crazy. Time flies. Training camp starts in 2 weeks. It's coming. And then, right after that, Hard Knocks
two
is coming.
Weeks,
and we'll have a lot to talk about here coming up with the Lions. And then before you know it, it's September 6th or 8th. Or I forgot the opening day exact, but right around that time. And we are off and running with another 17-week season.
Yeah.
18-week season, 17 games.
There you go.
All right.
I'm excited that we have more games.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Greatly appreciate it. And last but not least, as always,
go
Lions!
Woo-hoo!
Yeah!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave, rah, rah, rah!
go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.